Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning in thanksgiving and thanking you for the many blessings that you have given. And Father, we're so thankful for those that are here this morning, for those that could not be here, that are out ill, or wherever they might be, those who are traveling on vacation, those on the bed of affliction and hospitals, wheelchairs. And Father, we just pray for each and every one today. And Father, we lift them up to you, the great physician, knowing that you do all things well. And Father, for those our friends in Tennessee, we pray for them that as your word goes forth, that would be implanted in good soil, that it might lift and edify each other. And Father, we just ask now that you would just take this word that we are going to look at and apply it to each heart as each one has need. You know even the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy toward us. And we just ask, Father, that you would remove me and let the Holy Spirit just take the things of Christ and show them unto us, that in all things that your precious name might be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, not too long ago, I think, time flies by with me so fast, I think we had 2 Timothy here, but there is another way that we want to look at today, a little different, that we want to take off here. This is a beautiful chapter. It gives instructions to the Christians, and we are Christians. And it says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, first we want to note here, my son. And that is what we are. We are the sons, our children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. And this happens at the time that we receive Christ as our Savior. In other words, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, this is where we get verse 15. Look what verse 15 says. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now we want to take a look at this verse, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there is a word in that verse that says ashamed. We're living in a time today that some of us, especially as ministers, could be ashamed. We are ashamed of some of the things that is happening in the name of religion and in Christianity. But the apostle here tells us that in verse 8 of chapter 1, look at this verse. Now, the Lord showed me these words. The apostle Paul used this word, ashamed, quite often. In verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now look what he said, "Be not ashamed of the testimony." In other words, it says, verse 9, look the reason, "Who has saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And the reason that we need not be ashamed is the simple fact that we know that we are the children of God, that he has saved us, that he has called us for this holy purpose, and therefore we can go out and testify to the truth of what Christ has done for me. He says in Romans chapter 1 that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Now this is what we as Christians realize, that there is power in the word of God. There is power to convert man in the word of God. Now again we find that he is talking about here, be not ashamed of the testimony, but be partakers of what? be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. In other words, evidently at this time there were those who were ashamed of the gospel, and he writes this letter to them and tells them not to be ashamed, because they are the children of God. We have something that is sure and steadfast. It's not guesswork. It's just as sure as we can be. In verse 12, look at this one. For the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Again, he says, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. Now, many people know what they believe, or think they know what they believe, but do you know in whom you believe? This is the question. Do you know in whom you believe? And he says here, I know whom I have believed. He had a firm foundation, something to stand upon. Something had transpired in his life that had changed his life, and he knew, and therefore he was not ashamed to go out. It didn't matter of the opposition that he might have. He said, I'm not here to please man. I strive to please God. You see, and this is what you and I are to try to do, is to please God. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, therefore, my son, be strong where? In the grace. See, if you are in that grace of God, if that grace of God has been shed abroad in your heart, then it is found in Christ Jesus. That is the only place that it is. Now, we're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when you go to study the scriptures, and this is what it says to do, we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We are to study the scriptures. Well, how do I study the scriptures? First, for whom was this written? That is something that we must look at. For whom was it written? Now, you say, well, it was written for me. Now, let's listen at it. What did Christ or God have in mind when he was given it? Is it for me? Is it about me? Or does it have to do with some other group of his people? Now, in 1 Corinthians, we find that there were three different groups of people brought before us whom God has spoken in his word. Now, the first was the Jews. That was God's chosen people. And then he had the Gentiles. And then there was another group that he speaks of, and that was the church of God. Now, if you want to find that verse, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. In fact, turn back and look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. We find chapter 10 and verse 32, it says, give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So therefore, we see that there are three types of people, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. Now, we know that when we go to the book of Revelation, to the seven churches, it's very evident and who that is written to. It says to unto the church. In other words, that is written to the church. And what part is intended for the Gentiles? What part is intended for the Jews? And what part is intended for the church? And these are the three classes of people that we have in our world today. And there was a time when there was only two classes, and that was before the day of Pentecost. There were the Jews and the Gentiles. But when Jesus came and ascended up into heaven, and he sent back the Holy Spirit to establish the church here upon this earth, the church became into existence. And therefore, God has special things in his word that he speaks to direct and guide his people, his bride, which is the church. And so when the Holy Spirit descended, we have these three groups of people in the world. Now, all scripture is for me. Remember that. All scripture is for me. But all scripture is not about me. Now think about that. All scripture is for me. but all scripture is not about me. In Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Now listen to what it says. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for what? For our purpose. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to this. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would that you should not be ignorant that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now look at verse 6. Now all these things were our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You see, the purpose of the scripture, that we might look through these scriptures, that we might not fall into these traps, that we might be guided away from these, because we see the examples that were used in the Old Testament here, that we should not lust after the things as they also lusted. It gives us very definite instructions here, you see. And it says in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as some of them were, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You see, this is instructions for us today who are the children of God, that we do not have to follow after these ways and go through all these troubles and trials that they went through. Look at verse 8. Neither let us tempt Christ. Some of them tempted and were destroyed. They said, well, is God among us or not? They were questioning God and his leadership. And verse 10 says, neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed among of the destroyer. Now look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world comes. There it is, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for what purpose? For examples. They are written for our admonition, that we... So all scripture is for me, but all scripture is not about me. Now there's many truths and lines of truth in the Bible that we should follow. And there is that which to do with our salvation, which is by grace alone. We all know that we're saved not by works that we have done, but we're saved by the grace and mercy of God. But there is also a kindred truth that goes through the Bible that is often neglected and forgotten. We come to that point, we're saved by grace, and we feel like that we can sit down, and that is the end of it. But there is a kindred line of truth that goes through the scripture for the church, that it is our responsibility as the children of God, that we are what? In verse 15, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the worth of truth. Now what does it say? That after we are saved, we become workmen. We are working. All we have done is change masters. The Bible says that you cannot serve two masters, because you love one and hate the other. You see, what we have done, we have changed masters when we become born again, and now we become workmen unto God, needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is what we are to do. We're not to be ashamed of the word of God. We're to go out and spread the gospel of the good news, that in this darkened world that we're in today, with all its turmoil, with all its strife, and how many 700,000 children, I think, under the age of 10. I read this real quick the other day. It was in a school pamphlet I got some kind. 700,000 children a day have no guidance. They're turned out into the street. This is in California. That's turned out into the street under the age of 10 years old. Now, you see what we have gotten ourselves into. We have come to the period of time when that it's been put upon us so much to try to make ends meet, to have all these things that we have, that it comes that we do not have time for our children. We do not have time for our family, and we're spinning out in this world. And how do you get out of this? And this is the reason that we need to come to the Word of God. We need to go to it and study the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth, and not be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And many today are ashamed of the gospel in the world that we live in. They're afraid to go out and confess Jesus Christ as their Savior. But we are here to serve this new master. We are a workman for him, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what kind of workman would I be if I didn't show up for work? How many times would you get by with it if you didn't show up for work? You wouldn't last long, because the work has to be done. You see, your boss would pretty soon say, hey, I've got to have this work done, and you're not here to do it. I've got to have someone to do this work. And if you don't want to do it, then there are others to do it. You see, we become workmen of a new master, and Christ is our master. And it should be a pleasure to work for this master, because he showers all these blessings down upon us. And it says that my cup runneth over. And as our cup begins to run over, and we become full of the Word of God, and we become full of God's mercy and of His grace, then it begins to spill over into this darkened world, and others begin to see, well, maybe there is a better way than the path that I am trodden here. So we see that we are to study for the purpose of showing ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not be ashamed. But also, the reason that we study the Word of God is rightly divide the Word of God. Now, there is lines of truth that take, and they'll hang up on that line, and that's it. But there's also kindred lines that go through. The Bible is well balanced. And therefore, he says in the first verse, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, this is speaking to us as Christian today. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And verse 2, look what it says. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, what does this say? What does this tell us to do as the children of God? The things that we have heard, the things that God has revealed to us in His Word, what are we to do? We are to commit to what? Faithful men who shall be able to do what? To teach others also. This is a method that God has chosen to teach His Word and to spread the gospel throughout the world. What did He command the church to do? Go ye into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel. And how do we preach it? We start among ourselves, among our friends, among our neighbors. We commit what God has done for us, and we share with one another the things that God has showed us in His precious Word, and others can teach others. And the water begins to go out, the water of the Word. Now, it's like that we've used the example before. If you go out to a big pool of water, a pond, we call them out there. You call them lakes out here. Tennessee, we call them ponds. We're a little behind times back there. We call them ponds. But you go out to a pond that's real still day and there's no waves on it at all. You pick up a stone and you throw out in the middle of that pond, and that little ring where that hits, there'll be a little ring come off of it, and pretty soon another little ring, and pretty soon those rings will cover that whole pool of water. Simply because you threw that stone in there, it begins to spread out from the center and go out. And so it is with the Word of God. If it begins with me, and I can teach one other what God has revealed unto me, and that one begins to teach another, pretty soon we'll cover cover this world of preaching the gospel. We don't have to go into foreign lands. There's missionaries that God has called to go, and thank God for them that they do go out. But if it starts with me, pretty soon it will begin to spread, and it will go unto the other ends of the earth. And this is what he's saying here. The things that we have heard, well, how did we hear them? The Spirit opened our ears that we might know the things that God has for us. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard what God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. You see, the Spirit becomes our teacher and our guide, and it teaches us in the Word of God, and we are to teach others as we go through this darkened world. And I'll tell you, the Word of God will take a load off of your shoulders that you might be carrying around in this world. Go to him in prayer. Pray when you read the Bible. Ask him to open up the truth for you, and he delights in doing that. But if you go in your own intellect and say, I'm smart enough to figure this thing out, you learn absolutely nothing because you're going in your own intellect. We have to come and yield to him. And as we yield to our master, then he begins to teach us the things that he would have us do. Look at verse 3. Therefore, endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. We've enlisted. We have a commander in chief who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the soldiers in his army. And we are to follow. What does a soldier do? A soldier does what? If you've never been in the Marines, you pretty find out pretty quick. You're obedient to what they tell you to do. One way or the other, you are obedient. And so this is what God would have us to do as soldiers. We are to be obedient to him. Now, when I went to Parris Island boot camp in the Marines, I thought that was the most cruel place. I didn't understand the functions of this thing, you know. I wasn't used to this being confined in a little area here and someone screaming in both ears, you know, and somebody shooting you in both arms as you stood there, you know, with shots and all these things. And when you'd go out and they'd fill your pockets full of sand, those great old big dungaree pockets full of sand, put a pack on your back and say, we're going for a 20-mile hike, you know, and you dare not fall out, but you know, and it was rough, and I didn't understand all the mechanics of this thing, but it was for a purpose, and that purpose was to come obedient to those who were in command of you, because when you got into battle and they said hit the deck or scatter or whatever, and you stood, well, why should I hit the deck? You know, you'd lose your life. It was for a purpose, and the purpose was that you have a better chance of saving your life. And so it is, as soldiers, we learn to be obedient to the commander-in-chief. We walk by faith and not by sight. When he speaks, then we should say, yes, Lord. We should be ready to follow him because we have come to trust him. We know the purpose, and therefore we should be obedient to him. And that is all that he wants us to be, is be obedient children. And verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for the masteries, and yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now we have here an athlete. And you athlete, as he becomes to qualify, we've been watching some on television as they qualify for the Olympic trials. There is special things that they have to do to qualify. They have to follow the rules. And so it is. So he's presented here as an athlete. And if we're going to run that race, and Paul must have been some kind of athlete, or he enjoyed athletics, because he spoke many times in the Bible about running races, and he spoke many times on these things. It says if we're going to run that race, we must first be qualified. Well, how do I qualify to even get into this race? How can I qualify? The Bible says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And then you're qualified to be into this race. And then we are to run that race. We are to become a workman for him. And then we see in verse 6, the husband that laboreth must be first be partakers of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now look at this one. Here we are as a farmer. The husband that labored must first be partakers of the fruit. Look what he has to do. He has to fix the ground up. He has to make preparation here before he's going to do any harvest. And as I have observed people getting ready for harvest, they're getting everything in order that they might go out and begin the harvest. But first they had to plant it. They had to work the ground up. They had to plant the trees or the seed or whatever they might be, you see. And it says the husband that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruit. And this is where we are. Before we can start the race, before we can be partakers of anything, we must be a child of God. We must become a son of his by faith in Jesus Christ. And then we become joint heirs with him. And look at verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherefore, I suffered trouble as an evildoer under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Now look what a testimony this man said. Wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. Yes, he was bound up, but he says what? The word of God is not bound. You see, even though we might feel that we're bound up and we're put into a position, the word of God, what are we to do? Preach the word. You see, it is not bound. It will do its work. For the word of God is sharp and powerful and quick as a two-edged sword. It will do its word. You don't have to defend the word of God, as we said before. There's no way that you have to get up and try to defend the word of God with a non-believer or an atheist or so-called atheist or agnostic or whatever he wants to call himself. There's no use to stand there toe-to-toe and arguing the word of God. Just turn it loose. It's like a cage of lions. You don't have to defend a cage full of lions. Just turn them loose. And so it is with the word of God. Just turn it loose and trust God to do his work, and he will. Because he said, my word will not come back void, but it will accomplish what I have set it to. So our part is not to analyze the thing, but be obedient to the master and preach the word. And one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. And verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Look what he does. What's he enduring for? He's not a selfish Christian. He's not one that's saved and said, I won't go into the battle here. I'll flee out of here. But he says what? He says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. In other words, he's enduring as a soldier in this army. He's not a selfish person. He does this. He takes this word of God. He suffers afflictions, even under bonds. But yet, he is faithful to the commander-in-chief. And he's following his orders. And he's not ashamed to go out and preach the gospel. Look at verse 11. It is a faithful saying. Look at this. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Look at verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now look at this. It says if we suffer. And you know, it just came to me. I guess the Lord just revealed it to me. The suffering is not going to be hereafter when we get to heaven. You think about it now. And I hadn't thought about it on that turn. But the suffering is going to be here. Because when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any suffering. There's no more tears, you see. There's no more sickness, no more death. There's not going to be any suffering in heaven. And therefore, the suffering is for us as Christians is going to be where? Here on this earth, as we travel as strangers and pilgrims through this world, then we're called upon, we may have to suffer to spread the gospel of the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But look what it says. If we deny him, he also will deny us. See, so we are to go out And we are to preach this gospel, and if we have to suffer for it, so be it, because our commander-in-chief suffered for us, leaving us an example that we also suffer in this world. And if we suffer, then he will take care of it. Look at Acts 5:41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Look at this. Now, these men had something. This was in the book of Acts. They were rejoicing because of the shame that they had to suffer. They were bound. They were put in prison, you see. And they were standing upon something that they had. And they were standing upon that rock, who was the Lord Jesus Christ.